It says, got 9:30 Central African time. We do have Mufti Zubair Bayat on the program. Mufti Sab is joining us on the line from KZN. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana, and assalamu alaikum to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International.
Nice to hear from you, Mufti Sab, in the new year, mashallah.
Ji, inshallah. Let's hope all goes well for this year, Mawlana.
Ameen, inshallah. Mufti Sab, in our previous discussions, we discussed a number of issues in 2018. We spoke about Rabiul Awwal and its significance. We spoke about the demise of Mawlana Sami'ul Haq. We spoke about Mawlana Ahmed Katrada. We spoke about Hijama. We spoke about the series that we did with the children, the basic fiqh pertaining to the masail of children. We also spoke about Muharram. And our last discussion that we had, according to my notes here, is the demise of Haji Abdul Wahab Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. That, in a nutshell, is the highlights of 2018, Mufti Sab.
Yes, absolutely, Maulana. Alhamdulillah, you summed it up very well, very, very well, man. Alhamdulillah, we've more or less, in one, you know, one sentence, you could say you covered the year's topic. But, yeah, inshallah, today we will discuss some aspects of, you know, when a family member passes on, especially your parents or somebody very dear, beloved, then what are the things that one should do for the deceased? So, inshallah, along that line, we will have a discussion.
Indeed, so we may commence.
So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Once a person inquired from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that what should a person do after his parents pass away? What are the rights of the parents upon him after their demise? So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied that first of all he should make dua for them, and then he should seek forgiveness on their behalf, and he should try to execute whatever orders or bequests they had made, and then he should maintain ties with those relatives who are related to you because of your parents, and then to pay respect to their surviving friends. So this is actually narrated in the books of hadith about the rights of parents after they have passed away. We know about the importance of the rights of parents whilst they are living, alhamdulillah, but after they leave this world, they also have certain rights upon us. And these are ongoing. To make dua for them, Allah must forgive them, Allah Ta'ala must have mercy on them, Allah Ta'ala must elevate them, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala must enter them into Jannah, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala must give them easy reckoning, Allah must protect them from any form of torment or punishment. These are the various duas that one can make on behalf of one's deceased parents. And then also to seek forgiveness on their behalf. That's a special act by itself, to seek forgiveness on their behalf. Allahumma ghfirli wa liwalidayya. Allah, forgive me and my parents. Make dua maghfirat for them. So one is to make general dua for all to go well in the hereafter for them. And then one is to make dua maghfirat, seeking forgiveness for their sins. That's a particular dua to make for them. And of course then to execute their orders and bequests. For example, they may have made a bequest that certain amount must be given out as wasiya to certain institution, to a certain project, for missed obligations of hukukullah, hukukul ibad, people who have been owed monies. Or, for example, they wanted some, Hajj Badal to be done, or the missed salahs to be paid off, or they wanted, some masjid to be constructed, or a well to be put up, etc. These are some of the orders they may have left behind, the bequests they may have left behind, or they had something particular with regard to a particular family member, friend or relative, some instruction that needed to be carried out. So to the best of one's ability to execute their orders and whatever bequests they made. And then to maintain ties with their relatives, that is, all those who are related to you via them. In other words, to maintain good ties with the relatives after the parents have left this world, as a form of respect to one's parents, that would have made them happy and pleased, because they maintain the relationship, so they would like that relationship to be maintained after they leave this world. Like, for example, your siblings. They are related to you because of your parents. You are from the same mother and father, or even common mother or a common father. So you become siblings to each other by virtue of this relationship. So your parents would want that you should maintain good relationships with your siblings. So if you know that this is what your parents wanted, then you should do your best. In fact, you should go out of your way to maintain a good relationship with them, or aunts, uncles, others in the family. And finally, to respect their surviving friends and to maintain a good relationship with them. Your parents had certain people who were close to them, their friends, not necessarily family, but they got along very well. So to maintain good relations with them, this is very, very important, and it's very rewarding, and it's very pleasing to one's late parents. In fact, there is one narration where it is mentioned that parents will be made aware of whatever the children used to do on their behalf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it possible for the parents to be informed about the good deeds of their children, especially what deeds the children did on their behalf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make that information to be conveyed to the parents. And when they receive that information, they become extremely pleased and happy. So we see that this practice of maintaining good ties with one's deceased parents, friends, or not necessarily just parents, but anyone who is deceased in your family, who's close to you, for example, a brother, a sister, a wife, or a child, and they had a good relationship, they had some good friends, to try and keep good relationship with the friends of your deceased ones. And of course, it goes without saying that to do Isalu Sawab on behalf of the deceased, this is a very, very great act also. So regarding this thing about doing, being kind to the associates and friends of one's parents, we see an example of it in the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one narration, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that to maintain relationships is certainly a part of Iman. What is meant here is that to maintain, old relationships, established relationships, to maintain those relationships is part of Iman. This is what is called Silatul Rahm. Silatul Rahm is one is the family ties, but one is just sila, to maintain ties in general with people whom you've had some kind of relationship, to maintain ties with them. This is what is called sila. And we see that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has referred to this as a part of Iman. So it was a noble habit of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam that whenever he used to slaughter a sheep, then he would send some parts of it to the friends of his beloved wife, Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. And Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that at times Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would receive a gift of something, then he would take some part of it and he would say, go and take it to so and so, for she was a friend of Khadija. She used to love Khadija. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to acknowledge the fact that this person was a friend of his late wife, and that such a person loved his late wife. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to show acts of kindness towards such people. So we see that this was the extent of attachment that he had for those who were attached to his beloved wife, radiallahu ta'ala anha. And Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, she narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do this so often that I would sometimes tell him as if there was none other than Khadija in the world.
Subhanallah.
And this is the love of a wife for a husband. You know, this, she wants the love to be exclusive for herself. And now when she sees that the attachment Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for Khadija radiallahu anha, even after she passed away, then she asked, in a way, that only a wife can ask, and a wife can say that, oh, so there was nobody else in the world besides her. This was said out of absolute love and the informality that she enjoyed with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a spouse, as a wife. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would affectionately praise Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha, and he would speak about her virtues and so on, long after she had left this world, even after he had married again. But he would never forget her, and leave alone forgetting Khadija radiallahu anha, he did not even forget those people who are close to her, her friends.
Subhanallah.
So therefore, we should try to implement this in our life by trying to, first of all, establish who are the people who are close to our late parents, especially those the very closest of all friends. One should try to think of all those people, and one should try to make a list of such people, and then one should go and visit them frequently for from time to time, take some gifts for them, or maintain even some kind of relationship with them, even if it's not just visiting them, but today through communication, means of communication, electronic and otherwise, one can maintain a contact with them and keep the relationship going. So inshallah, this will become a means of happiness for those friends of one's parents, and it will become a means of great happiness and pleasure for them in the hereafter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this act of maintaining relations and having good ties with people and being good to people, being amicable, friendly towards people, being loving towards people. This is a very great act. It's a great sunnah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions regarding the mu'min, al-mu'min, ma'laf. وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي مَا لَا يُؤْلَفْ وَلَا مَا لَا يَأْلِفْ وَلَا يُؤْلَفْ أو كما قال عليه السلام. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that mu'min is an embodiment of love. And there's no goodness in that person who does not love, nor is he loved. The sign of goodness is to love people, to be loved by people. In other words, to have such a loving, amicable, amiable, affectionate personality that people like you, and you also like people, and love is generated, muhabbat is generated. This love for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a very, very great action in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, it is mentioned that among the people who will be granted the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, people who loved one another purely for the pleasure of Allah, there was no other ulterior motive. They were not looking for any kind of favors from one another. There was no monetary desire. There was no there's no expectation of any favors. Nothing. It's just purely for the pleasure of Allah. This is my brother in Iman and Islam. This is a person of such good qualities. This is such a noble brother in Islam. I love him for the pleasure of Allah. And that person loves this brother in reciprocation for the pleasure of Allah. رَجُلَانِ تَحَابَّ فِي اللَّهِ اجْتَمَعَا عَلَيْهِ وَتَفَرَّقَا عَلَيْهِ. Two people who loved one another just for the pleasure of Allah. They used to meet just for that reason. And then they used to go their own ways also for the same reason. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, these are the people who will be under the shade of the arsh on the day of Qiyamah. So we see how greatest act of to love people and to have good relations with people. One narration, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentioned that the wording I can't exactly get at this point in time. Yes, it is about the sweetness of Iman. ذَاقَ طَعْمَ الْإِيمَانِ. That person tasted the sweetness of Iman. Who? The person, مَنْ أَحَبَّ لِلَّهِ وَأَبْغَضَ لِلَّهِ وَأَعْطَى لِلَّهِ وَمَنَعَ لِلَّهِ فَقَدْ اِسْتَكْمَلَ الدِّينِ. Person has perfected his Iman. He has tasted the sweetness of Iman. The one who loves people for the sake of Allah. And if he doesn't like anyone, that's also based on his his dislike for them for the sake of Allah. He doesn't like anyone, it's not because of personal reasons or because of malice for a person, but it is purely for the pleasure of Allah, because that person has done something that is not in line with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires. And he persists in his wrongdoing. So this person has a dislike for this person only for the pleasure of Allah. And he loves somebody, he loves him only for the pleasure of Allah. So this is a very great act in Islam. Many a times people think that, you know, what is there, you just love somebody. But we don't realize how great the amal is. It's not just a mundane act. It's not just a kind of a routine act. It is a rewarding act. there are whole chapters on the virtue of Al-Hubbulillah. On the benefits of love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, Sahaba-i-Kiram, they were concerned about being in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Akhirah. And he gave them the consolation, as per the narration of Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba. A person will be with those whom he loves. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that I was not happy in my life more than this day and the day when I brought Islam. These were the 2 days that were the happiest days in my life. The day when I became a Muslim, I was very happy because it meant now I've secured my entry to Jannah. And the day when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pronounced that you will be with whom you love in the hereafter, irrespective of whether your actions were of the level of that person or not, but just by virtue of loving this person, Allah will appreciate this act so much that he will say, go and join him and be with him. Allahu Akbar. What a great thing it is to love somebody for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, to love Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to love the Khulafa Rashideen, to love the Sahaba, to love the Ahlul Bayt, of course to love the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam and all their families, and then the Ahlul Bayt, the family of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Ahlullah, the Awliya Allah, the Ulama, the Fuqaha, the Mujtahideen, the Muhaddiseen, the Mufassireen, the Mujaddideen, the Mujahideen, the Salihin, the Abideen, the Muttaqeen. To love all these good people, the Shuhada, the Zuhada, all these people, to love them for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will join you in the good company, the righteous company of all of these great people in Jannah.
Ameen, mashallah. Sir, the question that arises here is that our parents undoubtedly were humans also, and sometimes they maintain wrong relationships with maybe the wrong company, smoking club or something like that. What is the status of maintaining such relationship in this regard, Mufti Sahab?
Yes, it is a very good question actually, Maulana. Well, you see, what it means is that you do not need to join the people in the wrong that they are doing.
Hmm.
But you can still maintain a good cordial relationship with them by virtue of the fact that they were, after all, friends of your parents, and we should not be judgmental on anyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives hidayat. Perhaps by maintaining a good relationship with them, it will become a means of changing them. They could even, you know, it could become a means of transforming their thinking. Allah knows best. It has happened to many people that just because somebody kept a good relationship with them, it encouraged them, it gave them, it became a means of encouragement for them to actually change their lives.
Indeed. There's also family dynamics, Mufti Saab, family politics. There are certain members in the family our parents were not speaking with. For example, sometimes their own siblings. What do you do as a children? Do you continue with the bitter, sour relationship because our parents were doing that, or should we take a new approach?
Again, another very, very good question, Maulana. You see, there again, one should not perpetuate any wrongs that they were doing. One should try to help them by rectifying it. Then Islam, you see, the first obedience and first allegiance is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then comes the parents and everybody else. لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. There's no obedience to the creation when it entails disobedience to the Creator. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command is to maintain ties. And to maintain relations. That is clear cut. The hadith, the Quran, the hadith are very clear on this matter here. So if the parents had broken ties with their family members, it was a mistake. Now the children must help their parents by rectifying that. And they should maintain that relationship. And they should say, look, it was between you and your siblings or your late relatives, but we are your family and we've had no problem, so we want to maintain a good relationship. Perhaps that will become the means of the forgiveness of the parents. It will become the means of the forgiveness of those surviving family members, and it could become the means of forgiveness of these people who try to do this good act of maintaining the family ties.
MashaAllah. When you talk about maintaining, what is the meaning of maintaining relationships with the people that were important to our parents? What does it mean, Mufti Saab?
Yes, what it means, what maintaining relation means, is that one must have an ongoing relationship. In other words, it's not like a one-off thing, once in a lifetime, or once in 10 years, or once in a decade kind of thing, that, oh, you suddenly said, oh, yeah, you know, I remember when you are my family, you know, it's been like so long, man, 20 years ago I met you last time, now I'm coming to meet you again after 20 years, and maybe I'll see you after another 25 years. So that, you know, that's not maintaining a relationship. Maintaining is like how, you know, in English too, this word is used, maintaining something, doing maintenance on something, like, say you got maintenance work that you do on a car or a machine or equipment. So that means that you're doing ongoing, you know, you keep on fixing it, repairing it, working on it. So that's what maintaining a relationship means, that you continue to maintain that relationship on an ongoing basis as frequently as possible.
There's also this sentiment, Mufti Saab, that, you know, I'm still a junior man, and my father and his friends were quite senior people. Well, light team, and, you know, how do I maintain relationships with them?
Yeah. Now, you see, obviously you're not going to be able to maintain the relationship of that level of informality and all of that that your father had with his friends. He's not expecting of you to go and cut jokes with them and, you know, sit around with them and talk on their level and their ways. And you're not going to be able to do, and you shouldn't be doing that. I mean, respect demands that you should give them the respect as seniors. It's just a matter of going to greet them, you know, going out of your way to greet them, going out of your way to meet them, even popping in there for 5 minutes, just to make salam, dua, and say, Alhamdulillah, you know, my father loved you so much, you were so close to my father, and when I see you, I think of my father every time, and it is a fact. When you see your father's friends, you think of your father because who was he moving around with? He was moving around with the same people. Or your mother's friends. So when you think of them, when you see them, you think of your late mother. So obviously it's just, acknowledgement of that relationship. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to go and, plonk yourself down in their house and park over there for a couple of weeks or something of that sort. No, it's a 5-minute thing, just a phone call. Just today, Maulana, it's social media. One email, one WhatsApp, one email is also for old people now. All these new things are there.
Mm.
So a short message, just a phone call, just a short visit if they're nearby. Just to say, Alhamdulillah, we still think of you because of our father's relationship with you. When we think of you, we think of our parents. And, just to make salam, dua, as they say.
Hmm.
And if there is an occasion that's important, then you should be there for such occasions. Like, for example, if they're inviting you to a function, or there's some tragedy in the family, someone passed on, then try to be there for the janazah salat, go and pay your condolences to the family.
Mm-hmm.
This is now the special occasions to show that relationship.
Interesting indeed. Mufti Saab, we've got two questions coming through. The one is on the topic. It says sometimes that there's very strong jealousy and envy amongst family members. How do they overcome this? And this often becomes an obstacle in maintaining the relationship.
Well, you see, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said it very clearly in the hadith when he said that, سِلْ مَنْ قَطَعَكْ وَعَفُ عَمَّنْ ظَلَمَكْ وَأَحْسِنْ إِلَى مَنْ أَسَاءَ إِلَيْكْ. That maintaining good relations is not about, the reciprocating good with good. For example, if they did good to you, so then you'll be good to them. But if they didn't do good to you, then you won't do good to them. In fact, you might, if they harmed you, you want to harm them back. So this is not the teachings of Islam. The teachings of Islam is sil man qata'ak. Maintain a relationship with those who have even broken relations with you. Wa'afu amman zalamak. Overlook and forgive those people who have made zulm and oppressed you. وَأَحْسِنْ إِلَى مَنْ أَسَاءَ إِلَيْكَ. And try to do good even to those who have been bad to you. This is the sign of a good character and lofty character, and the one who is specially blessed and guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do such good actions. So in that way, inshallah, what you will find is that Quran says that فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. When you do this here, then that person between him and you, there was some, bad air, as we'll say, or bad blood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will convert that enmity into love. And فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. He will become like a bosom friend, warm, very close friend. Subhanallah.
Mashallah.
So we see Quran teaches us, that the Hadith teaches us, that do your utmost to maintain ties and maintain relations. There is goodness in this dunya in it, and there's goodness in the akhirat.
Sahab, the next question, although it's not pertaining to our topic directly, but we'll take it. It says, I want to find out if my husband is on drugs, do I still send the kids to be with him to maintain the relationship?
Oh, I'm assuming this was probably a case where husband and wife are no more together.
Looks like.
So in that instance, of course, it's the husband, the father's right to see his children, to speak to his children, to meet his children, to greet his children. Even though he may be wrong, he may have sinned, he may have erred, he may have, transgressed. But even the law of the country acknowledges the right of either of the parents to have visitation rights, to have access to the children, because they recognize the fact that the children do need, the presence of both parents. If they can't be together, the parents, then they still need to know that we've got our parents, and these are the people who, who we owe everything to. So therefore, one should send the children to the father under supervision. Make it a kind of supervised visit. Make special arrangements for it. But this is very important to maintain that kind of relationship for the children with the father.
Mr. Jazakallah khairan for your time. Much appreciated. A very insightful program. And we hope to speak to you next week, inshallah.
Inshallah, Al-Aziz, Mawlana.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.